PBS that kind of put a hold on the video series, on the creation video series, so we'll pick that up later. But we'll go to the Bible tonight, Psalm 121, and look at verse number 1 and 2. And if you would read those with me when we get there, we'll read those together, Psalm 121, verses 1 and verse 2. All right, looks like we're all there, close enough. Psalm 121, would you read those two verses with me as we get started tonight? Please, let's read them out loud at this time. Here we go. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Now, in Israel, it's an amazing landscape. The geography over there is so much different than what we know of Michigan. Well, Grace and I were talking. She'd love to go to Israel someday. I'd love to get her there. But anyway, while we were there, the landscape is just incredible how far you can see different villages. If you're standing on one hill or you're on this hill, you can look out and see maybe 7 to 10 other villages miles away. They're all fairly close. They're within a short distance from each other, but usually there's a valley somewhere in between, and especially the Valley of Megiddo. I know the Helmicks have seen that. I mean, it's vast. It's vast there. But what the people believe, the Canaanites certainly believe this, is that the God of the hills was going to fight. When the God of the hills fought for them, their enemies would be vanquished. Well, David said, no, it's not the God of the hills. It's the Lord God who fights for me. It's the Lord God who brings the peace that I need. He says, my help cometh from the Lord, not from the hills, but from the Lord. Yeah, I look up to the hills, but it's from the Lord where the help really comes from. And so for just a few moments tonight, I want to look at this this topic, help from the Lord and the American Christian. Help from the Lord and the American Christian. With technology today, we can see far beyond hills. We know what's above the hills, what atmosphere there is. And then in space, we've explored that as mankind. But there's so much more we don't know. There's so much more we don't know. But the truth of the matter is, however much we learn about what's out there, we can always know who the help needs to come from. Amen? Come from the Lord. Come from the Lord, the God who created everything we see. And so I wanted to take a few moments to look at what it is in regards to America, kind of our background, and then as a Christian, what God wants us to consider and keep in mind, especially at this time. I don't know how you're looking at this weekend. It's a busy one for our family, and we're looking forward to it. But I don't want to forget, we don't want to forget what it took to call this place America, to call this place our homeland. You know, there's a lot of talk about where your roots are and where your family comes from. Well, generations of mine came right from America. You know, Poland's in the background, but we're Americans. And God in his grace has provided a place for us. But yet that doesn't make me a citizen of heaven. Being American doesn't make us a citizen of heaven. We know that. So what does the Lord want us to consider? Well, we'll look at a few thoughts about help from the Lord and the American Christian. So before we go any further, would you bow with me? I'll ask God to help us, and we'll pray. Lord, thank you for a place that we can call our home tonight, a place that has more freedom than still anywhere else in the world. Certainly there's turmoil, and certainly there's things we're asking you to change, but yet, God, we still have you, and I pray, Father, that that zeal would only grow, that love and joy with you would only grow, Lord. Even tonight, help us take a step closer to being more like our Savior. Thank you for what you're going to do. Thank you for, again, our country. I pray for those who are on the fighting lines for our freedom tonight. Would you please protect them and guard them? Pray, Father, for those that don't know Jesus, you would open their eyes. I pray that real revival would come to those that are standing for us. Give them grace and help us, Lord, to be ones who can carry, who are willing to carry the message to them or others. In Jesus' name I pray all this. Amen. Amen. Help from the Lord and the American Christian. Let me ask some help before I go any further. Speaking about help, who would take some verses tonight? Romans 5, we got a whole bunch here at the bottom. Romans 5, verse 12, who would like to read that for us when we come to it, please? It's on that second paragraph there. And Daryl's going to read that. Thank you, sir. Then we have Romans 6, verse 13. Romans 6, verse 13. Who would read that? Brother Dan's going to read that. Thank you, sir. Then we have Psalm 119, verse 162. 119, 162. John's going to read that. Okay. And then several here. Philippians 1:25. Who would take Philippians 1:25? Vicky's got that. All right. Staying in Philippians chapter 1, verse 4. Philippians 1:4. Who would take that? All right, Judy, we'll give that to you, ma'am. And then Sister Carolyn, if you would take Romans 15 and verse 32. A couple more here to go. Who would take 1 Peter 4, two verses here, 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13. 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13. All right, how about Mr. Kurt? We'll take that. And then Sarah, if you would take the final one there, 1 Thessalonians 1, 6. Thank you. 1 Thessalonians 1, 6. All right, here we go. So a little bit of history for us today. Independence in America. You remember all these dates. I know you got them down by heart, right? First of all, the Declaration took time. You know, we're celebrating on the 4th of July the Declaration of Independence. That is that there were a group of men that represented the colonists here that said, we want to be independent of the leadership, oversight, and the nation of Britain. And so they declared independence. Often we call the war that followed that the Revolutionary War, which is not necessarily wrong, but you know what they called it back then? They called it the War of Independence. They called it the War of Independence. That's what they were fighting for. They weren't fighting against something. They were fighting for something, though of course they had to establish that. Number one here, some dates that coincide with that. Continental Congress, which was formed during the 1770s, June 14th, 1775, came to order. Number two there, of course, the Declaration was written and completed on July 4th, 1776. All the various representatives that were there signed it. Then the government was established in 1777, so another year later. Here we are, a number four constitution finally was adopted September 17th, 1787. Notice how many years since the declaration and all that, it took time. It took time. It was ratified, that is the Constitution, on June 21st, 1788. So now we're talking, man, a long time. Remember, 1776 is when they said, let's declare we're going to fight for independence. It was 1788. How many years is that later? 12 years later. Yeah, I'm agreeing with you. I had to get it out. 12 years. 12 years. Can you imagine today waiting 12 years for a constitution to be ratified? That we'd been promised for all this time that America's going to have all their laws as best as possible. But back then, because of God's grace, they waited. But listen to this. It was effective. It didn't even get effective until March 4th of 1789. So there's another year that goes by. And yet God certainly was in it. History tells us that. The ratification took unity. The declaration took time, but the ratification took unity. All the colonies, the representatives that they had to come together and be willing to agree that this is what we wanted to do. Only two-thirds were necessary, as far as the document legally stated, but all 13 eventually did ratify it. The last one to do so, anybody know who it was? May of 1790? Rhode Island. It was Rhode Island. Yes, sir, you're exactly right. The smallest of the colonies, and still is today, smallest state, was the final one to ratify the Constitution and accept it. Took time, took unity, and then thirdly, it took sacrifice. It took sacrifice, of course, as we know about, we mentioned it earlier. What are some of those sacrifices? Well, let's name a few of them. First of all, families left their native lands to come to America. Remember, travel back then was, travel's not the safest in the world, and when you travel across the lands already, there's always a risk. But of course, back then, it was common for folks to die on the trip. it was common for a certain percentage of everyone on the ship, a certain percentage wasn't going to make it. And then you had to settle in and get your family where you wanted to be. And a lot of times families, members died there. It was a arduous journey. Families left their native lands to come. And remember, families is all they had. They didn't know anybody here. They would have had to find out. Some of them didn't even know the language back at that time, too. So things were far different than they are today. Not that families don't try to come to America who don't know the language. Of course, that still happens today. And by the way, we're blessed to have that kind of desire. Amen? It is a blessing. But there needs to be a legal way for them to come through. And there is. There is a legal way. How many knew there is a legal way for people to join our country and be a citizen? And if they do it right, it's an amazing, amazing thing and a wonderful thing. Number two, traveling in settlements were dangerous. Traveling in settlements were dangerous. We often call them Native Americans. Who are we referring to when we say that term? Indians. Yeah, Indians. And they didn't want to give up the land that they had. Now, by the way, they fought each other for that land too. So you got to include all the history if you're going to talk about those things. But as men and pioneers and so forth went to settle lands and build towns and so forth, there was much danger there. There was much work to do. And it took many years and sometimes generations before things really became peaceful. And then finally, number three, of course, as we talk about independence, war for independence costs lives and money. And this is a pretty well accepted number. Those that died in battle, the number that is given is 6,800 who died in battle. You say, that doesn't sound like a lot. I mean, that many people, we've seen those numbers go, people die in a very quick amount of time today. We got to remember, this was a small country back then. We didn't have a lot of people in the United States. So 6,800 who died in battle. However, more died from disease. 10,000 is the number at least that I found. And then those that were prisoners of war, and this is a number about the middle of what I found, 8,500, and some numbers went up as much as 12,000. So a lot of sacrifice so that we could have a place to call home. The estimated cost at that time, this is the monies of that day, $114 million. And you say, well, that doesn't sound like a lot. Well, it is a lot of money. But if you use today's numbers, I'm not sure what that is, but it's got to be in the billions, maybe even greater. Of course, the cost was great. And yet, here we are today. We can go home tonight, and we have a bed to sleep in because people sacrificed for us. And they still do today. Aren't you grateful for that? They still do today. We still have to work the land. We still have to work and provide, and God gives us strength to do that. But praise the Lord, we have a place we can call home by the grace of God. Yet that doesn't make us citizens of heaven. We need to depend on God. We're not depending on America to get us there. Amen? We're dependent on the Lord Jesus. God says, I'll be your help. Here's a few thoughts about it. First of all, of course, letter A here, sin, which we all deal with, brings death, the Bible says, and bondage. Romans 5, verse 12 talks about that. You know, the Bible there, thank you for sharing that, the Bible there gives us an excuse, and then it doesn't give us an excuse. He says, for by one man sin entered into the world, and then death by sin. But then it says near the end, for that all have sinned. You know, we can say, well, man, Adam, what a skunk. Look what he did to us. Well, then all we got to do is look in the mirror and say, yeah, what do we do to us? Sin is still something we must deal with. And, of course, in Romans 5:12, it's talking about sin before knowing Christ, that sin that needs to be paid for by his blood, which the Bible tells us can be and has covered it if we call on him in faith. Here's letter B. Salvation in Jesus brings righteousness and eternal life. Romans 5 and verse 19. I'll read it for us, starting in verse 19 through 21. Here's what it says. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Who's the one man? It was Adam. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Who is the one who is obedient? Jesus. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But when sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness. Here it is. Righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Aren't you thankful that we can have righteousness in Jesus and live his life, live through him and him through us by trusting in him and putting faith in him. God says salvation brings righteousness and eternal life through Christ. That's how we can start our dependence on God. But thirdly, the Bible tells us that we need to surrender to Jesus, and surrender brings victory over sin. Surrender to Jesus brings victory over sin. Romans 6:13, we'll start with that. Okay, thank you very much. How many have driven through construction so far this summer? If you've driven anywhere, you've gone through some construction. And you know, they whittle you down, you know, these big four lanes, three lanes, and now pretty soon it's down to one lane. And pretty soon you got to realize you got to get over real quick. And either you get over or somebody has to let you get over. They have to let you come in. They have to yield the right for you to come in. That's what God's telling us. Yield, let God take over my body, my hands, my thoughts, my tongue, what I do, where I go, those types of things. God says, if you yield your members to me, then good things can happen. But if you don't, good things will evade us. And the Lord certainly wants to use us for his glory. So here's the thought, submit my person, that is my physical self, to the Lord. Submit everything I have physically that I have control of, in a sense, and give him the control. Yield it to him. Let him have the right to do what he desires through me. Submit my person for righteous living. Secondly, turn with me, if you would, 1 John 2. Would you go there together, please? 1 John 2. We're going to start in verse 15. 1 John 2. Talking about surrendering to Jesus so we could see some victory over sin. 1 John 2, verse 15 says this, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Notice the last phrase there, he that doeth the will of God, the desires that God has. Number two, devote my love and will to the Lord. That's the blank. Devote my love and will to the Lord, so that what I want is what he wants, so that what he desires is what I desire too, and helps guard and protect and guide as we deal with sin. Number three, rejoice. Rejoice in the things of the Lord. Here's some thoughts throughout the Bible that God says we can rejoice in as a believer in Christ and see victory in. First of all is his word, Psalm 119. Verse 162. And I think John has that one.
I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, the verses in Psalm 119, they're short, but they're right to the point. And they're a blessing. God says rejoice in his word. You rejoice in God's word tonight. We should rejoice in God's word. Even when it tells us things that says, no, you need to change that. You need to be more like the Lord. More like Christ. It is a rejoicing book and a joy to talk about, a joy to share, and one we ought to, and are better for it. if we see it as a joyful thing. His people, rejoice in his people. Philippians 1, 25.
And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith.
Okay, thank you. Paul said, you know, I love being with you. I rejoice when I'm with you. As he says, when I abide with you. And as we abide together, that is, we do things, we fellowship together. We're doing that tonight. We're looking at God's word together. But also as we spend time together personally and beyond, when we pray together, that's a sweet fellowship. All these are part of the family of God that he desires for us to grow in. We are the local visible family of God here in Eaton Rapids. We want to increase that family. Amen. We want to see that family grow. We have that opportunity. God says, rejoice with one another in such a way. And then the Bible talks about worshiping him in joy. Philippians 1 and verse 4. And Judy's got that. Okay, thank you very much. So worship, prayer, giving glory to God, in obeisance to him. God says, Apostle Paul said, I rejoice in prayer with the Lord. And prayer is a blessing if you take time to do it. If you take time. If you're like me, prayer doesn't come on accident. You have to plan it. You have to just do it. And say, okay, everything else is going to stop right now. Everything else is going to stop. The noise is going to be out. And I'm going to talk to the Lord, the creator of everything I see. And that's what Paul was saying. That's a joy to spend time with our Heavenly Father, with the Lord in prayer. And God says, that's something we get to do. And certainly as we're talking to the Lord and we're in prayer, one thing we're not going to be likely doing is sin. We're not going to be in sin if we're talking and spending time with him. Next one, Romans 15, 32.
That I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed.
Okay, thank you very much. The Apostle Paul said that I may come to you, the Roman church, church in Rome, by the will of God. So rejoicing in his plan, as God plans out what he desires for us to do, that we would be joyful about that. Sometimes his plan doesn't always go with our plan. Am I the only one who's ever found that out? That my plan kind of differs from his sometimes. But yet when I follow his, that's when the joy is available. When I try to follow mine and things get messed up, I'm not too joyful over that. That's not his fault. That's mine. God says his plan can be rejoiced over. Then his sufferings. 1 Peter 4, verse 12 and 13. Okay, thank you. Here the Bible uses the word sufferings, the sufferings of Christ. And in 1 Peter, he was writing to New Testament Christians right around the time when the persecution was pretty heavy for them. He talks a lot about that in 1 Peter. But the Bible there says, but count it joy that you suffer for Christ, that your testimony is glorifying your Savior. Now you tell me. That doesn't make sense in real life, does it? Only if you're doing it for the Lord. Only if God's getting the glory and Jesus is being lifted up. He says his sufferings, you can rejoice in that. You can rejoice in that. Then finally, 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse number 6.
And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy.
Okay, thank you very much. His spirit, we can rejoice in his spirit. The Bible says, and when we receive Christ, we receive his spirit in much joy, and we can rejoice in him. I trust this is a little bit of a help for you tonight. You know, praise God for our country, but praise God for the new country we're going to live in. Amen? And the new citizenry we have, and do our best to get the word out that there's room for more. There's room for more. All right, we've got some folks to pray for, things to pray about. Let's go do that. Find a partner. Let's do that.